"Wait a minute," Dibe said. He had been running flight trajectory simulations in the navigation display. "Even if you did knock out the Grannin, and that's a bloody long shot, we're still no better off. Maranta will just launch her combat wasps straight at us. There's no way we can outrun them. They'll get us before we're halfway to the edge of Murora's gravity field, let alone Lalonde's jump coordinate. If we accelerate at 8 G's, we'll have 7 minutes 15 seconds before the Maranta's combat wasps will catch us," Joshua said. "Distance-wise, that works out at about 16,000 kilometers. "That still won't get us outside Murora's gravity field. We couldn't even jump blind." "No, but there is one place we can jump from. It's only 15,000 kilometers away. We would have a 20-second safety margin." "Where?" Melvin demanded. Joshua datavised an instruction into the flight computer. The navigational display drew a violet trajectory line from the Lady Mac towards the edge of the ring, sliding round in a retrograde curve to end at one of the 4 tiny Ring Shepherd moonlets. "Murora 7, Joshua said. A terrible realization came to Dibe. His balls retracted as though he dived into an icy lake. "Oh, Christ, no, Joshua. You can't be serious, not at that velocity." "So, give me an alternative."
"An alternative to what?"
Sarah asked petulantly. Still looking at Joshua, Dibe said, "The Lagrange point. Every two-body system has them. It's where the moonlet's gravity is balanced by Murora's, which means you can activate a starship's nodes inside it without worrying about gravitonic stress desynchronization. Technically, they're points, but in practice they work out as a relatively spherical zone, a small zone. For Murora 7, about 2.5 kilometers in diameter," Joshua said. "Unfortunately, we'll be traveling at about 27 kilometers per second when we reach it. That gives us a tenth of a second to trigger the nodes." "Ah, shit," Ashley grunted. "It won't be a problem for the flight computer," Joshua said blandly.
"But where will the jump take us?" Melvin asked.
"I can give us a rough alignment on Achillea, the third gas giant. It's on the other side of the system now, about 7 billion kilometers away. We'll jump 1 billion kilometers, align Lady Mac properly on one of its outer moons, then jump again. No way will Maranta be able to follow us through those kind of maneuvers. When we get to Achillea, we slingshot around the moon onto a Lalonde trajectory and jump in. Total elapsed time, 80 minutes maximum."
"Oh, God! Well, I suppose you know what you're talking about."
"Him?" Sarah exclaimed. "You must be joking."
"It has a certain degree of style," Dibe said.
He nodded approvingly. "Okay, Joshua, I have the nodes primed, but you're going to have to be staggeringly accurate when we hit that Lagrange point." "My middle name." Sarah studied the bridge decking.
"I know another one," she muttered under her breath.
"So who's the lucky one that gets to EVA in the rings and blow up the Grammin?" Melvin asked.
"Volunteers can draw lots," Joshua said. "Put my name in."
"Don't be stupid," Sarah said. "We all know you're going to have to fly the Lady Mac. No one else could hit that moonlet, let alone its Lagrange point. And Ashley has to take the space plane down. I expect that flight's going to need a professional, so the rest of us will draw for it."
"Kindly include 20 of us," Gora said. "We're all qualified in EVA work, and we have the added advantage of being able to communicate with Isra in case the starship should alter course."
"Nobody is volunteering, nobody is drawing lots," Warlow said, using excessive volume to obliterate any dissent. "This is my job, it's what I'm designed for, and I'm the oldest here, so I qualify on all counts."
"Don't be so bloody morbid," Joshua said, annoyance covering his real concern.
"You just plant the nuke on a rock particle and come straight back."
Warlow laughed, making them all wince.
"Of course, so easy.